Well, good morning. Nice to see you. The hymn that we sung this morning is most appropriate to the subject that we want to deal with. The verse 4 of the hymn says this: all shall be glad in his kingdom of peace. Freedom shall flourish and wisdom increase. Foe shall be friend when his triumph we sing. Sword shall be sickle when Jesus is King. God's people throughout the ages have longed for that day when the Lord Jesus will return and take over the governance of this earth, and in so doing cause the lawlessness that grieves the child of God today and has always been a vexation to the child of God to come to an end. Let's read a few verses from Psalm 2. Psalm 2, a psalm that points forward to the time that we're going to be looking at. The psalm opens with references to man's rebelliousness, and specifically the time when there will be a combining of kings. In verse 2 it says, the kings of the earth. I would suggest to you that that is what we call the prophetic earth. It's talking about that portion of the earth which chiefly features in the Bible record. And this is, of course, I believe, a reference to the kings that are mentioned in Revelation chapter 17, for instance. And they're going to get together and they're going to war against the Lord, it says there in verse 2 of Psalm 2, and against his anointed. This is not just a general murmurings amongst the people of the world, but now it has come together and it is centered among the kings of the earth. And they're determined to resist God and overthrow his anointed. What they say, what their plan is set forth in verse 3 of the psalm. Let us break their bonds asunder and cast away their cords from us. Now listen to me, you boys and girls, you older ones. If you listen to what is being said every day, you will hear the rumblings of that which is spoken of here in verse 3. Every day, somewhere or other, in the news, you will hear someone or some parliament or some group rise up and demand that laws be changed, laws that reflect the truth of God be changed. This is the breaking of the bonds that God has put upon mankind. This is the casting away of the cords that the Lord has placed upon men. That's man. He doesn't want God's cord holding him back, keeping him from doing the things he wants to do. Verse 4, here's God's reaction to this rebellion. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. You never thought of God laughing. But you know, in God's eyes, there is nothing more laughable than man thinking he can defeat God. That makes God laugh. That makes God laugh. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Despite all your opposition, I'm going to set my king in Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. God the Father is going to give to the Lord Jesus the whole earth for his possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. That's what it will be like for the ungodly when Jesus comes again. They'll not be able to resist him. They'll not be able to resist him. Now, we have been looking at Solomon, and we have been seeking to show to you that in the record of Solomon, there are pictures of the Lord Jesus and his future reign. We noted on Tuesday how that when Solomon came to the throne, the first thing he did was to deal with those who had been a trouble and a vexation to his father David. He judged them. And he also then rewarded some of those, and doubtless there were many others he rewarded that we don't just read about, those who had been faithful in their service to his father David. And that's what's going to happen when the Lord Jesus comes again. We considered that from Matthew chapter 25, the verses 31 on. Now I also mentioned just at the close of Tuesday's assembly that today we hope to take note of the fact that peace was established in the kingdom of Solomon when he took the throne. It had been rather a turbulent place during the days of David. David had many wars. But when Solomon came to the throne, peace began. Peace had been promised to David. If you look at 1 Chronicles and the chapter 22, you will see that that is the case. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, and we're looking at the verse 9. The Lord is speaking to David. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, a word or a name that means peace. And I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. So that was a promise given by God to David. And of course, when Solomon replaced David on the throne, that which God had promised came to pass. Boys and girls, every promise of God will come to pass, no matter how outlandish and impossible it may appear to men. And there are many people who, reading the prophecies, they say, how could that ever be? How could that ever be? Well, don't you worry about how. Just be assured it will be. And I'm sure David, when he received that promise of peace, and when he shared it with his friends and his army commanders, etc., they must have shaken their head a little bit, because they were on constant watch, constant alert. How often we read in the record of David's life, and the Philistines came again. No matter how many times the enemy was defeated, lo and behold, as soon as you turned your back, there they were again gathering up to fight. So, those who had experienced such ongoing trouble and vexation and unrest and war, they might have said, I cannot see a day when there will be peace. But God promised it. And what God promises, he will bring about. And peace was established in the days of Solomon. That which God had promised to David, Solomon experienced and enjoyed. 1 Kings chapter 5. 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 3, we have Solomon speaking, making preparation for the building of the temple, and he says to Hiram, who came from the kingdom north of Israel, and where there were many forests and great trees, and from those forests Solomon was hoping to get the timber that he needed for the temple. And verse 3 says, thou knowest how that David my father could not build an house unto the name of the Lord his God for the wars which were about him on every side. That's a good description of the days of David. Wars about him on every side. But verse 4 says, but now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. David was surrounded by war, Solomon was surrounded by peace and quietness and rest. Completely different kingdom. And so it will be, boys and girls, when Jesus comes again. We can't even begin to imagine the change there will be. We can contemplate it, and we can labor, as it were, to picture the earth as it is described for us in the Bible in the days of the Lord Jesus. Oh, how wonderful it will be. Go back a chapter to chapter 4 of 1 Kings. We read this verse on Tuesday. But just remember again, verse 21, chapter 4, verse 21, and Solomon reigned over all kingdoms, from the river unto the land of the Philistines, and unto the border of Egypt. They brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life. Before that, those nations would have been at war with David to a large degree, resisting him. But here they are, submissive. They're serving Solomon. And that's a picture of what it will be like in the days of the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 25. And here is just how idyllic the circumstances will be when the Savior comes. Pictured for us in the pleasant state of affairs that existed in the days of Solomon. Verse 25, and Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. Dan, that was away up in the north. Beersheba, that was away down in the south. So within the territory of the ancient land, there was calm and peace. The picture here, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, is easily understood. Throughout the previous years and decades, and centuries indeed, you never could be sure when you planted your vine or pruned it and got it ready for the harvest that was up and coming, or your fig tree, you were never sure you'd pick the fruit of it, because an invader may come. In Judges 6, we read of every time at harvest time the enemy coming in, the Midianites coming in and plundering the land, so that they labored in the springtime, they looked after their crops up to the summer, and then when everything was wonderfully ripened, in came the enemy and took it all away. Paul the Apostle spoke about the uncertainty of riches. The uncertainty of riches. You never know just how long you'll have the prosperity that you may be enjoying today. It could all just disappear. But when Jesus comes again, as is pictured here in the verse 25 of 1 Kings 4, every man shall sit under his vine and sit under his fig tree, contented, untroubled, no anxiety, confident and sure that he will enjoy what is to come from his labors. Now I tell you that's a picture of how it will be when Jesus comes again. You look at a few verses, Revelation chapter 20. This is a chapter in which there is a very plain reference made to the reign of the Lord Jesus upon the earth. Revelation chapter 20, the Savior returns to the earth. That's recorded for us in chapters 18 and chapter 19, the return of Christ. Then in chapter 20, we see what follows his return. The devil is taken and he's bound in a bottomless pit. And this is in order that he might not deceive the nations anymore. Verse 3 of Revelation 20. He who's kept the pot stirred since the days of Eden, now he's under lock and key. He's not going to be allowed to stir up things. The Lord's reigning. And whereas the devil kept things disturbed and distressed and men at war, the Savior is reigning and he's bringing in the very opposite. He's bringing in peace. Verse 3 and verse 4. Verse 4 says, I saw thrones and they sat upon them and judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The saints of God are going to reign with Christ. They're going to reign with Christ. They're going to be given duties, given responsibilities. In the old days in Israel, I was just reading this yesterday, where when Moses led them out of Egypt, he was advised by his father-in-law Jethro that he could not continue to judge the people all by himself. They were coming to him day and daily with questions and problems, and Moses was required to answer them, and he was going to be exhausted, says his father-in-law, in a very short time. What you want to do is appoint good men, officers, men over thousands, men over hundreds. Structure it the way we have in an army today. You have the leader, and then right down through the ranks to the very common soldier, you have different men who hold office and take control and charge of the various sub-levels within the army. That's how it was in the days of Moses, and that's how it will be in the days of the Lord Jesus. He said to the apostles, you will sit on 12 thrones and judge Israel. When will that happen? In the days when the Lord Jesus comes again. He's going to rule. There's going to be order in his kingdom, not the confusion that we have today, and there's no better examples of it than here in our own country, where every upstart and rascal and supporter of murder and lies and robbery and deceit and wickedness is given a say in the running of our country and can hold the country to ransom. Not be like that when Jesus comes again. There's going to be order, wonderful order. Isaiah chapter 2, and if I were to give you a homework, the homework I would give you is for you to read the opening part of Isaiah chapter 2. For we are told in verse 2 of Isaiah 2, it shall come to pass, O bless God, it will come to pass. I'm looking forward to this. God has said this is going to happen. It shall come to pass that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. That's talking about Jerusalem and the hill of Zion. And many people shall go up and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. That has never happened. That has never happened. But when Jesus comes, nation shall not lift up sword against nation. That's what God says. There's going to be peace. Why? Because there's a ruler on the throne who will not tolerate rebellion. Not tolerate rebellion. It's going to be a blessed time. There's going to be changes in this earth, you know, when Jesus comes. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 65. We're coming to a close now. Isaiah chapter 65, and we're looking at the verse 20, and this is during the times when the Lord will be reigning. If you look at verse 19, I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, and the voice of crying. Jerusalem is featured here. Changing times coming for Jerusalem. And of course, from Jerusalem will flow out these changes, flow out these benefits and blessings. There shall be no more, verse 20 says, thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old. And that little phrase just conjures up a picture for us. Life is going to be lengthen in the days of the Savior, so that someone who dies at 100 years of age, for death will not be removed entirely from the earth, but someone who dies at 100 years of age will be looked on as a child, as an infant, as an infant. Life is going to be blessed by him and lengthened by him. Lengthened by him. Look further down the chapter to the verse 25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Even the animals will be affected. Even the animals will be affected. There's a change coming, boys and girls, when Jesus is king. Just turn on over to the little book of Micah. I hope you can find it. And in Micah chapter 4, you have almost a complete repeating of what we read in Isaiah chapter 2. Now, when God says something twice, you better listen. And as you read Micah chapter 4, you will find the Lord repeating much of what was said in Isaiah chapter 2 that I read from just a little bit ago. But the verse 4 of Micah 4 is interesting. And here's the future. But they shall sit, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. As it was in the days of Solomon, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, no one frightening him, no one threatening him, so it will be in the days of the Lord Jesus to an even more wonderful degree. There's peace coming to this world. Oh, not man's making, but the Lord's making when Jesus comes again. I trust that these things will be written up in your heart and you'll think on them many times and long for those days and wait for the coming of the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, bless your word to every heart, we ask now. May the children take to heart these words. May they believe God. And believing him, may they find great, great comfort in the promises of his word. We thank thee that Jesus is coming again. What glad news this is. Bless our school, undertake for its every need. Those who need your healing touch, we commit afresh to thee. Bless each pupil, bless each teacher. Undertake, Lord, for every need within our school. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.